Welcome to a special episode of Film Sack, where we don't watch a movie, but instead we talk about movies at a scale larger than just one film. And this week, it's me, Scott Johnson. And over there, we got Randy Jordan and two Brians, Brian Ibbett and Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi.
As if it's somehow different.
The same people who've made literally every episode.
Yeah. I don't know why I got so specific there. Hyper-specific. But
it's good.
Maybe it's because this is going to be less hyper-specific about a film today. We're talking about hot action movie summer movies, but not the ones FilmSack does necessarily, but the ones that exist in general, the ones we love, the ones we don't like, what it means to really kill it in the summer with a big action film, or whenever. It doesn't have to be summer, I guess.
Oh, it's got to be summer. Let's keep it closed. Let's keep it tight. Oh,
yeah. Well, there's a good question right out of the gate. Is there a time of year for action movies?
Like, oh, man.
Do you not really think of action movies at Christmas or something?
Well, there are some action movies at Christmas, but for the most part, it's usually a popcorn. What is it? A popcorn thriller? What do they call them? There's a word for it when you just go just for the popcorn,
popcorn flick.
And the loud popcorn flick.
Yeah, popcorn flick. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
They're not right there at that point. They are not caring about Oscars. They're like, let's make some money. We'll do our Oscar films later on in the year when people are thinking about it.
Sure. But even Die Hard famously comes out around Christmas. Although I don't remember if the release was around Christmas. Have we ever talked about that? I don't know what the actual release of Die Hard was, but it was set during Christmas. Point. Maybe it came out in the summer and we just always assumed.
I thought it did come out in the summer, actually, Die Hard.
Yeah. It might have. But I always think of that as a thing I'm going to watch in the wintertime. But for the most part,
it is a summer movie. It came out in July.
July. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's too hot to be talking about Christmas.
Yeah. No kidding. The weather outside is hot as hell. That's how that song goes. But I think of my action movies. My brain does go to the weather's nicer. We're going to go to an opening night thing. We're outside a lot more. And John Wick is only going to be a 2-hour, air conditioned experience. And then I'm going to go eat food out on a patio at a restaurant somewhere. And I don't know why. Maybe we're just all conditioned for that, but that's because that's when these movies come out, I guess. Right.
Yeah. That's a weird thing to think about that. Right. Like, you'd think, everybody wants to be inside in the winter. They want to stay warm, go to movie theaters instead of out in the bad weather. Let's do our biggest releases then. But they don't. Mm-mm. They totally do it during the summer. Kids are out of school. They can.
They're out of school forever. Yeah.
Yeah. School's out forever. Yeah.
At least Alice Cooper says so.
Yeah, yeah.
The most discordant I can think of, and this is by no means comprehensive, I'm just saying, my mind, I feel like The Matrix coming out on March 31st of 99 was weird. I remember it was like almost Easter.
Yeah,
I just really, like it didn't fit. There is definitely a thing about the time of year.
Do you think part of that is because The Matrix was an unknown anything? Like nobody really knew what we were going to get with that, and that was like for whatever reason the slot they got. I don't know that the studio thought they had this enormous hit on their hands or not.
Like, right? Like it's we don't want to put all our summer blockbuster movie chips down on this one, so let's make it something close to the Memorial Day weekend, something, a couple months before the Memorial Day weekend deal.
The Matrix was a little bit different action movie. It's when we started moving into a little bit a different time, because prior to that, it was like Schwarzenegger, Stallone. It was all these, when I think of action films, that's what I usually think about, because that's the ones that just, they're all the way through. It's just like, heavy metal from beginning to end. It's just go, 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 blow stuff up. And The Matrix wasn't like that. As a matter of fact, my oldest son is kind of like, ugh, The Matrix, that's so boring.
Really?
It's kind of like he kind of sees it as a boring action movie.
Is it because
he'd seen the newer sequels more recently and he just kind of puts them all together in his head?
I'm not sure, but I do know that I was kind of shocked when he said that. And I was like, you know what? It's kind of true. It's a slower burn. It's kind of a slow heavy metal song instead of a fast heavy metal song.
Do you think so? Some of that could be attributed to we get desensitized to whatever level of action a film or a genre gives us, and then we demand more and more and more. And before you know it, we're same actor, but we're doing John Wick, and John Wick is nonstop, bam, 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 which is not what The Matrix was. So it's like we just have to keep upping that ante. I don't know where that. I feel like my action peak, it's not going to shock anybody, was Mad Max Fury Road in 2015.
What?
And I don't know how you top that, in my opinion. I still to this day don't think I've seen a movie that was more nonstop action than that.
I loved The Predator, but you're right. That is really nonstop action. But to me, action film is The Predator. That's peak action for me.
I like to try to imagine where it all comes from. Like, what's the start of it?
Yeah.
And it's really the action is the most difficult because action kind of comes about slowly, right? Like movies come out that are a little more actiony than previous movies, right? Mm-hmm. Like we sacked Towering Inferno, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And that's like 1973. Don't check me. Don't check that.
Too late. I'm on it.
It's something wrong. Like that. You're close.
Like, and it feels like there's a lot of action, but it's not that action. You know what I mean? Like it's early in this genre.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is I think back then, if you had seen that movie for the first time in theaters, you would have gone, wow, wall to wall excitement, you know, mm-hmm. but we see it now and go, really?
Yeah.
Like right. a couple of moments maybe, but it really doesn't, you know,
bunch of people in a restaurant rushing to the windows, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's suspenseful action, right? It's a buildup, you know, it's coming and it's just building up slowly.
Yeah. It's you always say slow burn, but yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And
if you go back in the past, action was a feature of dramas. It was this thing that, like, The Godfather had a couple of action scenes. Right?
Yeah, good point. Right. Yeah, it was it's a small, like, it's an ad. It's like set pieces, and even big action movies now, there's like two or three moments that are, you know, Guardians 2 had that incredible intro, and almost kind of superseded all other stuff in the rest of the film.
There's a bunch of John Wayne movies that are. You might now call them action movies, but I promise you, if you watch them, there's like one gunfight in the whole movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's totally true.
I think anytime a guy is literally ripping down trees to fight an alien, that's an action movie.
Predator. Yeah.
Yeah. The Predator.
Yeah. By the 80s, we definitely have a genre. It is like set. I think even the 70s, right? Star Wars is an action movie. Mm-hmm. Is it?
Mm-hmm. Even action. Yeah. I think even action. 80s action movie is like literally a subgenre of its own to just the decade and the action movie attached. Like that's a thing you hear people say, oh, I love 80s action movies. It's like
specifically because there's so many things that do that make an homage to that too. Right. We've had more mm-hmm. recent films. I want to say like The Other Guys is a good example of this or the Rundown or not the Rundown, the Lowdown that specifically try to emulate that feel of Riggs and Murtaugh and you know other action movies.
Hobbs and Shaw is what I think of.
Oh yeah,
Hobbs, sure, yeah, great example. Yeah. There
sure,
we go.
Sure, yeah. Brand new great example. There and you could even argue the Fast and the Furious series is in a weird way is like the one they carry the whole thing through. Like
there's a reason why there's one after the next. It's just like we've got this space and we're gonna use it.
Yeah. By the way, just for the clarification on the dates, it's interesting how the Matrix movies came out. So you mentioned the Matrix 31st of March 1999. Matrix Reloaded May 15th of 2003. So, you know, closer to...
Moving a little closer.
Yeah. And then Animatrix, June, which was the whole thing. And then the Matrix Revolutions... 5th of November 2003.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Breaking all the expectations.
Yeah, and then the newer one came out in December of 2021. So it's like a weird order.
I feel like in the last 15 years, there isn't as much of a summer thing. Like all the Star Wars movies have come out around Christmas right? Right. In the last few years.
Harry Potter, that kind of stuff. All that stuff comes out around Christmas.
Yeah, that's a good point. I bet there's always like some Marvel movies do this. Like there must be a decision made where they're like,
oh, yeah.
You know, we could do this in June. But how do you feel about a Christmas release or whatever?
But that's a tougher thing because there's there's elements that need to happen in movie A before you can see movie B. So let's say that they feel like, oh, this movie's a great summer blockbuster, but we haven't introduced this big bad villain until the previous film. And that one is also going to be a summer release. So, and I know that they're really trying harder to space out all the new MCU releases a little bit further so people don't continue having superhero fatigue.
Yeah.
But how do you decide like which of your blockbusters, even outside the MCU, that require people to see the previous one if there are multiple within a year that gets released first?
Right.
Right.
Right. That's a great point.
Good question.
So James Bond movies are action movies, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we can say.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And James Bond, you know, is like the name of the movie, right? Like you start, so maybe start with James Bond and end with Hobbs and Shaw. We're pointing at a person or people, right, as the genesis of the idea, right? Like, I'm just trying to, like, with the MCU movies especially, you're all over the place. Yeah. You know, there's like, yeah. Yes, there are movies called Iron Man 2, yeah. But they're all over the place. They're trying to get you to come along for a dozen different stories. And like, I feel like that's way harder than just saying James Bond 17, you know?
Yeah. Or just mm-hmm. even yeah. like, here's the new Batman. It's kind of a, it's like a spot in time. There might be two sequels and those will take 3-4 years between. But the way Marvel did it was say, we're going to go, all right, in January, here's this one. And that's going to lead directly into May's release of this other movie. And then that's going to go straight into this Avengers group movie later in the year. And then the very next year, the ramifications of that will show up in the next Marvel movie. And it's like in some ways, that's a whole new way of telling stories on a macro level. Yeah. And I know people are getting a little, like Brian said, fatigue with superhero movies. But you have to admire the chutzpah that is that.
The chutzpah.
Because that is that's like a huge undertaking. And it's obviously a money-making undertaking, or they wouldn't do it. But I can't think of a time before this where it wasn't just your standard, you know, blockbusters were like first movie, second movie, third movie, usually in threes. Mm-hmm. And whatever, you know, you did that with Star Wars initially, you did it again with prequels, you do it with the Matrix movies or anything else. It's just like bam, 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 and you're done. And then you sit on it for 30 years and then remake it or whatever. But Marvel's like, nope, we're going to go. You can follow the thread from Iron Man 1 or even the Hulk that same year, I guess. Mm-hmm. But whenever MCU, it became the thing, and you can follow that thread all the way through. They all had the stingers. They all had connective tissue. They all have these stories that come together. And I don't think that's historically significant. Whether or not people are tired of it is a different question. But no one else has ever done that I know of.
No.
Not even James Bond. James Bond's like, we got a new guy. Here he is. Let's do 3 of these, 4 of these. Okay, bye. Okay, new guy. Let's do it again. Mm-hmm.
And very little consideration to the storyline that came before it, too.
Right.
You know, let's reintroduce this character that we introduced. You
it
know,
even became like
ago.
A trope. Like, it would be like, oh, yeah. Didn't he have a girlfriend at the end of that last one? What happened to her exactly? Right.
You can totally watch Quantum of Solace without having seen Casino Royale. And vice versa.
Right.
I feel like those need to be watched as one movie. It's funny you say that because I feel like those are the only two where you can't do that.
I agree with Ibbot that it's better if you don't. I think they at least tried with Daniel Craig's run to have connective tissue and have arcing, you know, other than just
visiting
a grave.
The whole Evergreen storyline.
Yeah.
Vesper, Lynn. Yeah.
Right.
So I bring it up because I have this question that I've always had, and I've never heard a good answer to it about the prestige of action films. It's missing. Action films have never broken through this like glass ceiling on top of them where you go, you know, you go get the prestige Oscars. You mm-hmm. are considered, you know, among the greats. And not just the best rated films of all time. If you look at the IMDb top 100, a lot of action movies at the top. That's because audiences like them. But my question is, why don't Oscar voters like them? Or why don't they present them as prestigious? I don't know.
They do and they don't, right?
Anybody have an opinion?
I mean, they do and they don't. Like, if they... I mean, I remember saying on TMS or maybe Film Sack or something back in 2015 after I saw Fury Road, I remember saying, well, this is definitely going to be nominated for Best Picture. And a lot of people didn't believe me. They were like, whatever, dude, that's crazy. That's not going to happen. Hollywood hates movies like this, blah, blah, blah. But in my mind, I was remembering things like Return of the King, which, well, all three Lord of the Rings movies got nominated. The third one won Best Picture that year. And when things like that happen, it gives me hope. Like, yeah, if it's good enough, like really, truly good enough, these things get their day in the sun. And, you know, they don't always win. Like Fury Road probably should have won. It won the most awards overall in the night, but it didn't win the big prestige ones. And I didn't expect it to, but the point is like, I think if they're big enough and good enough, then they can't ignore it, you know? Like the Hollywood has
maybe,
to at least
maybe the answer here is that they don't set out to have award-winning acting exactly,
right?
Or you know, award-winning, you know, cinematography exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So they're less likely to ever get there.
Yeah, possibly. I'm trying to think of like, didn't Star Wars, the first Star Wars, get nominated?
No,
I thought it did.
No, not for Best Picture. No, no.
I swore it did. Why do I have that in my head? What am I thinking of? None of the other Star Wars is dead. Wars is?
I don't think any Star Wars has ever, it's never, none of them have ever gotten nominated for Best Picture, no.
Oh, I thought that first one did. Well, anyway.
Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. I'm sorry. You are absolutely correct. The first one did. Gary Kurtz, Best Picture nominated. Wait, is this the Academy Awards? It is the Academy Awards. Yeah.
All right. So I didn't just.
Apologies. I did not think that any of them ever got nominated, but.
Oh, yeah, they have. Oh, wow. They got nominated for Best Director.
Best Supporting Director. Yeah.
Actor
supporting Actor.
Alec screenplay. Guinness. Yeah. Best Original Screenplay. Yeah. Best Art Direction. And won that one.
I mean, obviously, it's way before I ever started really paying attention to the Oscars, but I could have sworn that, you know, it's kind of a trivial thing that no Star Wars movie has ever gotten a Best Picture.
Looking at it, too, A New Hope got six awards, if seven, if you count a special achievement Oscar.
The Ben Burt.
The voice. Wow. Ben Burt deserves that, too. That guy.
Man. And then nominations, but only one win ever for any of the other eight movies, and it was Return of the Jedi getting a special achievement award for visual effects.
Yeah.
Oh, counterpoint. I'm looking at Empire Strikes Back, and it won two Oscars.
Yeah, sound design special achievement award for
visual effects. You're right. I scrolled past those.
Nominated for best music, best original score in 81. Did not win. Anybody want to guess who won the
84
score at 81? It's kind of,
oh wow, who beats that? Indiana Jones, get it?
Indiana Jones, yeah. No,
that no, I don't know.
I'm who, scrolling really, really fast.
We thought you were ready to go. Tell us what.
Empire Strikes Back. Nope, that's the wrong year entirely. Here we go. Lost to Fame.
Fame?
Oh, wow. Really? Oh, yeah, sure.
Well,
enough, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a movie about music. You would expect it to have a little more. But hey, look, Terminator 2.
I would expect your best song, Fame, not best score. You know, yeah, I mean, that's a whole different thing.
Never even think of that. Sorry, Dunaway, what?
By the way, perfect segue here. Action movies are rife with great scores, great sound. There are, you know, all kinds of advancements in like sound editing and sound design go along hand in hand with action movies. And I don't really think we would have the great drama, sound, music, etc., if we didn't have action movies pushing pushing the state of the art.
Right.
Yeah. Action movies are typically, or can typically be, a lot more money. Dramas are usually your lower expenses. Terminator 2 won 4 awards from the 64th annual Academy Awards. So,
oh, wow.
Best sound, once again, editing, visual effects, cinematography. So,
You got to win the, you had to win effects
visual
for that.
Visual effects.
Yeah. It feels like every time, actually, doesn't every time he make a movie, he just gets that award. That's a James Cameron deal.
Just by default.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Even though some of it, it's like they were really cutting edge at the time. You go back and look at Titanic, and I love those shots, the sweeping shots of the boat where all these people are walking around the boat. If you zoom in, they all look like the corniest, dumbest looking CG characters of all time.
Yeah, right.
But at the time, it was like, dude, the year's 1996. How the hell are we doing this? Yeah. So he deserves a ton of credit for that. But
we've touched on almost all of the highest grossing action movies of all time. Like we've named Fast and the Furious, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Terminator 2. There's one that we haven't touched on exactly, but it just hasn't come up organically. And that's Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just unbelievable grosses out of those movies. And kind of surprising to me, it still always blows my mind that The Dark Knight is as good as it is, like that it's so like I remember that summer, you know, where we saw it at Nerdtacular. I then watched it another like six times IMAX, an IMAX theater. Kept going back to an IMAX theater to watch that
movie. I remember you and you were nonstop talking about it too.
Mm-hmm. That's
all
you
I heard.
Shut up.
Yeah. I'm trying to make the instance.
It's the equivalent, like, you know, this doesn't happen anymore because you never flick on the TV and see what's currently on the channel that was left on, but you're scrolling through the list to see what's currently playing. But this, that would be a film that if I was scrolling through the what's currently on HBO and Dark Knight was on, no matter where in the film it was, I would probably tune in and watch it.
Yeah, why not? So, even midway through, I'd be like, oh yeah, let's get in here.
Yeah,
see what's going on. That movie's just amazing, and it has one of my favorite heist scenes. Unfortunately, I wouldn't call the whole movie a heist movie, but that whole first scene, so good.
Yeah. Heist and escape movies are some of the oldest movies that I associate with action.
That's
usually those are two kinds of things.
Do you have a favorite heist film?
Guilty pleasure, maybe.
Sure.
Italian Job.
I like that too.
Not the good one. The new one.
The new one. No, I like that movie's fine. I enjoy it. That's good.
This is right. A really broad question. Like
it is. It's hard.
It's I wrote it out for you guys a few days ago. I'm like, you know, so like maybe give me three. And then
we're doing heist films first, right?
Okay. We're just narrowing it to heist films.
I thought that was the question that was just posed.
Oh, okay, just now. Right. Yeah. Let's talk favorite heist films, because they are a subgenre of action, or I don't know. There's always action in a heist film.
Yeah.
They are. And another big summer blockbuster, former trilogy, now a quadrilogy, the Oceans films.
Those are great. Well, two sucked, but the third one was great.
Two of them are great.
Yeah. And it's not, everyone always says, I got heat for this because you and I talked about it on TMS and said, you know, one of the reasons was the weird fourth wall, what's her name
that
stuff.
That is the reason for me that I don't like Ocean's 12. I like most of everything else about it, but that is such an egregious.
It's a terrible thing that they did.
Yeah.
But I also just think it's weak compared to the rest anyway, like overall. Mm-hmm. And maybe that colors it so much for me that it actually made it weaker. I don't know.
Should be.
Hard to say. But for me, it is Spike Lee's film whose name is escaping
Inside
me.
Man.
Inside Man. I love Inside Man. I think Inside Man is criminally underappreciated, and also hardly anyone remembers Spike Lee directed it because it's not his usual thing. But holy frickin' crap, that movie is the coolest heist movie. I'd watch that right this second if I wasn't doing this with you guys. In fact, I might. You know what? Screw you, Parasite.
Right.
Yet again, I'm going to watch this.
Do it right now.
Click.
I'm going to watch it right now.
It's 2006, I think. Yep, there it is. And if you haven't seen it, Denzel Washington, Clive Owen, Jodie Foster, amazing cast, incredible, tense, amazing heist film.
Yeah.
Could not recommend it more.
Good old Spike Lee.
Yeah, Spike Lee doing his thing. Well,
yeah, I got to
doing the right thing.
I got to set aside heat just to even
talk
about it. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Sorry. I said the wrong movie. It's actually Heat, but go ahead. I forgot about Heat for a hot second. And
setting aside heat
for that one.
as I've told you before, I just really love this this little movie called The Saint. I just can't help myself.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, you do talk about it a lot. That's a good true
story. I wish I liked The Saint. The Saint bores me to tears. And so here's a question for you, Randy. The reason The Saint bores me is I feel like it is devoid of action. What is it that why does it resonate with you as a good heist slash action movie?
The editing, the music, the cinematography, it never stops being exciting. Mm-hmm. It never calms down. And I love that. And like my favorite things in Heat are those those fast paced moving moments. And I just love that. I love The Saint. And I can't help myself. I feel like Val Kilmer is in his element so much, you know, like
the music really makes that movie fun. It just,
except when there's two songs playing at the same time. We all agree.
Even that it's still exciting though. It's like, I'm listening to two songs at once. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Inside Man streaming on Netflix. I'm going to watch this later.
And you should.
Did you know they did a sequel called Inside Man Most Wanted with Jamie Foxx? I never heard of this.
No.
2019. Really? Let's see who's in it. It started playing. I didn't mean it to play.
No, I'm going to watch it right now.
No, watch it right now.
Where's the get more info button? It just plays. Can I just, whatever. Oh my gosh, I forgot Inside Man had Christopher Plummer in it. I'm watching this tonight. I'm watching it.
Yep. I'm going to go watch Ronin.
Oh, and how do we, too. Okay, we're talking about action. By the way, we haven't even mentioned this on any of the shows, and this is a pretty great place to bring it up. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the now official, I don't know what, I don't know if this job pays or what the deal is, but he's Netflix's action guru now. It's like an official position. Really? And along with that announcement, he released a new film over there called FUBAR.
FUBAR. I love that name.
I saw that, yeah.
And I hear it's great, but I also feel like we ought to do that.
That's a great idea. Before any of us watch it, none of us have watched it, right?
No, have not. Not yet. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we need to hurry because this is, well, not really because it'll be on Netflix forever, but this is old ass Arnold, the best Arnold, right? Old fart Arnold is my favorite and I love it and it looks great and we need to watch this. So I'm just saying, list sooner than later, FUBAR. And also, I think what this means when they say that he's the new action guru for Netflix, I think what it means is he's about to release a ton of shit on Netflix is what I think it means.
Right, right.
So we're going to get original movies and all
that. He's definitely signed up with Netflix. They are pushing him hard. Right. FUBAR is a series, so maybe we could watch along the first episode.
Yeah. I'd be down.
Oh, that's good. Sure.
I'd be down. Let's do it. Oh, I didn't know that. You're right. Look at that series.
I didn't either.
It's a dramedy. It's exciting. It's irreverent, it says. Here.
Oh
yeah, it's a whole series. Right. Okay. Yeah, and it's number one in TV shows right now.
So we just talked about heist action. We touched on space action. Another pretty popular subgenre is history action. Yeah. Anybody got any favorite history action?
Oh, come on.
Hate it.
Come on.
Gladiator,
no.
That's all. That is nothing
Oh,
else.
My gosh. What? You just named a towering giant of action movies.
And that's it. It is done.
Master and Commander is one. It's not historical, all right? Meaning it's not, it's fiction still.
It's not, right. Not based on true events, but historical action doesn't have to be true.
Correct. And man, I'm sorry, but that movie freaking rules. It's so good.
Or just as a movie?
Tons of action, but also as a movie. It's got tons of action. It's great. Some of this stuff, and they're really like hyper realistic about how ship-to-ship combat worked in, the, whenever this is set, 1600s or whatever, what it was like to sail then and visit places you'd never seen, like Australia, and all it is indigenous people there. And like, it's got, what's his name? The Vision is in it. Can't think of his name.
Jude Law. Yes, I know you're talking about.
May as well be Jude Law. Those two kind of interchange. But anyway, it's also one of, I think, what's his name's best movies. I can't think of anyone's name today. I can think of the guy's name. Peter Weir directed it. Russell Crowe is what I was trying to say. Russell Crowe is amazing. Sure. And just this whole, and I hear the books are really incredible as well, but it's one of these movies where I couldn't believe there was no sequel. And maybe it was just too big, too
Nothing
extravagant.
Spells action like reading a book.
Oh, I'm telling you, Dunaway. Have you seen that movie, Master and Commander? Have you seen it?
It's so good.
No.
And historical action is not easy to pull off, right? Like over the last 30 years, Gladiator has grown in prominence, but like 300, not grown at all. People don't like 300 anymore because
very stylized.
Because, it's cheesy. It's very cheesy.
Well, it's just a video game.
Yeah. Right. But like a better example is probably The Last Samurai. Really well-known action movie when it came out. And now nobody
thinks about it.
Is that Tom Cruise blowback?
Maybe. I think part people were mad that it was a white savior kind of movie. People were mad about that.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But I remember thinking Ken Watanabe was really good. So there's that. He's never bad. So.
There's
when
that.
Is he not? Yeah, exactly.
But I guess what I'm saying is the appetite for action now in a world where to drive you to the theater, it needs to be crazy.
Right. I felt it.
Somebody had to do it.
Yeah, someone had to say it. But to drive people to theaters, which is what they really are trying to do with these now, they don't have time for a lot of exposition. They don't have time for a lot of other storytelling. They just want to thrill you with the visuals and the craziness. And
perfect length of action film, time wise?
2 hours.
Two
hour
hours.
And a half. Yeah, I like a fool. Hour and a half.
just before we leave historical action, yeah. I just want to ask, did anybody have a time frame when their favorite action movie was Braveheart?
Oh, I love Braveheart.
No. I like it, but yeah, I don't think it was ever.
I still do. I think that movie's awesome. I think Braveheart's rad.
I liked it, but so The Predator. I've mentioned it a couple of times because I've seen it.
Why don't you just hump it? Why don't you hump that Predator? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't mind at all. I don't mind if Schwarzenegger let me get in that little. If he would let me cover myself in mud and lay down we'd totally do that. But yeah,
I love that movie too.
So yeah, that's where it's at.
Yeah, that movie's great. Look, I mean, you can say it. Everyone's going to have a different answer to where it peaked, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Fury Road. You're going to say Predator. Someone else is going to say something else. That's just the way that's going to be. But I guess what drives me to theaters now, which is very little, to be honest. I don't enjoy the experience like I did when I was younger.
Is a 2002 Kia Soul? Is that what drives you?
No, that is not what drives me there.
That's what drives me.
That's what drives Brian there, but not me. What drives me there is things like Spider-Verse I'm going to see because, honestly, it's not just that it's Spider-Man. It's because, A, the first movie was insane, but also, B, animation is a big push for me. And to me, this is a more unique reason to go and see it in a big, huge way.
You've got better control over who you're seeing it, who's going to be around you when you see it, because you're seeing it with a bunch of tadpoolers.
Yeah.
You're not going to have you'll have people around you who are cheering at the right parts and not pulling out their phones and taking selfies and chit-chatting or taking their shoes off to put their stinky feet up on the
Favorite Ibbot is the one that is annoyed by theater goers. It's my favorite Ibbot.
It's favorite. That Ibbot is going to slowly start to go away as I get more and more entrenched in the Alamo Draft House experience.
Yeah, yeah,
although Tina did have a little kid sitting next to her for Spider-Verse, and there's some moments in the film that are talky and you know, exposition setup and stuff like that. At one point he did Tina's reaction during Everything Everywhere All at Once. He did the just like when there was a lot more talking.
Oh, really?
This little 8-year-old kid. And then he turned and like kind of sat on his side staring at Tina while Tina was watching the movie. Like, she's basically seeing this.
You're more fascinating than this movie right now.
Like, he's like, oh my God, when is Spider-Man 2099 going to stop talking to Miles Morales? Oh.
So how old was this kid? Just curious. I'm just trying to.
It was probably 7 or 8.
Okay. That's about right for staring at people for no good reason. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's before it could get a little creepy, but also you can't just explain it as bright flashy colors.
Right.
are there things upcoming that everybody's jonesed about? I know a few things have landed recently, like Sisu and some other stuff, but like, you know,
besides the obvious ones like Indiana Jones and End of List. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer. I am so excited.
Oh, yeah. Oppenheimer. Yeah.
So there's a thing. So this will be interesting because, you know,
and it's a summer blockbuster.
Yeah. No, and Nolan, known for his bringing action into heady material, right? But I wouldn't call it strictly action, his movies. I would call them like some kind of hybrid that keeps you on the edge of your seat, even though something maybe actiony isn't happening. Like, I don't know how much action there can be. It's mostly going to be about the moments
historical
and the moments of where they're testing the bomb. That'll be exciting and visual and crazy, but for most of it, it's going to be, you know, after that and him going oh shit and everybody going oh shit and the whole world going oh shit.
So true.
So very fascinating.
I got two for that question.
Go.
One that, of course, you've heard of that I'm really looking forward to is Dune Part 2.
The one that you
might not have heard of yet is a movie coming in September called The Creator. I don't want to say too much about it. I don't want to know too much about it. I just know that this is a Gareth Edwards movie that he also wrote, and it stars John David Washington, Gemma Chan, Ken Watanabe.
Ooh, just talk about him. Yeah.
I am just like, I'm stoked about this movie, and I'm trying to keep track of it without knowing too much about it.
That sounds great. Has anybody had a chance to see Sisu yet since it hit?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yes. Not me.
And nope. I want to see that real bad.
It is everything that you, Scott Johnson, want.
Oh, good.
It is.
It looks like it.
Awesome. It's almost a little bit oppressive for you, the viewer, and it's fine.
Yeah, it'd be fine for me. I don't mind. I'm very excited about that one. So hurry up and stream somewhere. I don't want
to. It's not as comedic as the trailers made it out to be. Mm. And by the way, that's another subgenre, comedy action, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, like Lady Killers.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I was thinking Big Trouble in Little China, Tango and Cash, Tropic Thunder. That's anybody have a favorite? By the way,
comedy
ones. I forgot about the ones you mentioned. I mean,
yeah, I know you've ruined them.
I like Bad Boys 2 a lot. Maybe I don't as much as I used to, but I used to think Bad Boys 2 was pretty rad.
Yeah, it's still fun. That's a great action.
You know what? I got it. The Rock. If you're talking about where it's like interchange between actors and there's comedy involved, The Rock every day, all the time. I love that movie. Yeah.
At that level of comedy, then I'll still say Lethal Weapon, the first one.
And also, everyone at home that heard me say how much I like The Rock, I'm not talking about the actor. I'm talking about the movie from 1994.
You can like The Rock. It's okay.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. I know, but I just don't want it to be confusing. And everyone's like, boy, Scott really likes Dwayne Johnson. No. I'm saying The Rock, the movie about escaping into Alcatraz. It's an amazing, amazing movie to this day. So good.
I can't believe it's 16 years old now, but mine is Hot Fuzz. Man, Hot Fuzz.
That's a really good one.
Has it all.
Hot Fuzz is amazing. Great, great call. That's a good one. I just made Kim watch it for the first time. She loved it. Okay. One final question about a category I just feel like some of our listeners will appreciate we'll bring up here. Women fronted action films. My favorite is Hannah with Cate Blanchett, Eric Bana, and Saoirse Ronan, or however you say her name. That movie is so good. And the TV show is also excellent, but the movie is absolutely worth seeing and holds up, I think, a lot. You guys have a favorite kick ass chick movie?
Kick ass chick movie.
Check it out.
Or you could just say any of the aliens. She's such a kick ass woman.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, there you go. Good call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Sigourney Weaver, baby.
I oddly have I liked the Charlie's Angels films. I know they weren't good.
Could you?
Yeah. I know.
You know they're bad, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Kind of on the same token, and I'm struggling to remember what it's called, but it was a Bridget Fonda film that was the La Femme Nikita, but it was the... It was the Americanized La Femme Nikita. And
you
could also say the Professional, too. I guess that's good. Jean Reno fronted Natalie Portman.
Yeah, but Portman ate that scene. She ate every scene up she was in. She was so good.
Yeah.
Is it okay for me to say Terminator 2?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Yeah. Such a badass.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Point of No Return was the Bridget Fonda La Femme Nikita. Interpretation.
The one I wanted to be good was Blonde.
Oh, Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I think we all wanted that one to be better than it was.
They had an amazing cast, really great female-led stuff, but the story is just bad. So I will land on my favorite female-fronted, it's a little bit of a trick, but my favorite female-fronted action movie of all time is Mad Max Fury Road.
Furiosa. I knew it.
That movie had a secret, and no one knew it until it came out. And the secret was, this isn't about Max. This is about her.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me tell you about one of my favorite action stars who happens to also be a woman. It is Mila Jovovich. Yeah. Excuse me. I've been corrected. Jovovich, Brian.
Jovovich. Wow.
You a bitch. Jovovich. Anyway.
Hey, Jovovich.
Her Resident Evil stuff I love. It's dumb.
It's corny and terrible, but she's great.
No, I mean, come on. It's she's just as much the star of
Fifth Element.
Bruce Willis, Fifth Element. As Willis is.
I agree. That's another good answer to the whole buddy cop.
Yes.
You know, it's not, you don't think of it that way.
Throwback kind of thing.
Sure.
Plus, she makes a really good album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But why do you think we're so short on those these days? I feel like the genre now is like one guy against everybody, and there's not a lot of like buddy copy things anymore. You know, friendly, like we're doing this together.
Usually it's the comedy. It's going to be The Rock.
How long ago was the Russell Crowe? The Russell Crowe.
Nice Guys.
Nice Guys. That was 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
I think it was 2016. Yeah, pre-pandemic.
8 years ago.
2016, Shane Black directed Speaking of Predator.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow.
This is a while ago. was a great movie, though.
Oh, that, like, last month? What was that?
Such a cool movie. Shane Black directed and wrote, and Shane Black was in Predator. So there you go, Dunaway. Enjoy your Predator reference once again.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
He got killed. He had the weird glasses in Predator. He was that guy.
We named Hobbs and Shaw. I don't think that subgenre is completely dead.
Oh, good point.
And my evidence for that is that there is a John Cena, Jason Momoa movie coming.
What? What's that called?
It's called Killer Vacation.
Okay.
That sounds good, actually.
Does it, though? I mean,
good job. No. Good job. Yeah.
Killer intrigues me. Vacation.
Killer Vacation.
Killer Vacation.
All right. I'm marking this as a want to know more. Oh, no, this came out already. Oh, no, this is a different thing. Sorry, there's another thing called Killer Vacation.
It was a Vegas vacation. It was European vacation.
That's right. It's in the vacation.
National Lampoon's Killer Vacation.
Have you noticed how, I don't know if you've seen this before, how John Cena by himself looks like a badass? You put him next to Momoa and he looks kind of like a dork.
Yeah.
You know,
he looks like a comedian or something,
Or an accountant or something. It's like, I'll take care of this this year for you before cut off in April. Like, it feels like
I think it's because you pulled a picture of him smiling. Like, if when he's serious business in Peacemaker, oh my god, he's scary looking.
And that scar Momoa's got over his eye, oh man, he's a badass.
Yeah,
I don't care what you do or say.
He's going to be fun when he gets old, though, I think.
And then,
as he gets older, he's going to continue to be fun.
He already seems, he's so chilled out and, you know, like, I feel like he, even after, that's another connection of Mad Max, because he was married to Cosby Girl, and she's the mother of Zoe Kravitz, who is in Mad Max Fury Road. Anyway, no more connections about Mad Max. That's going to do it for our special one-off about action movies.
You have to close with Mad Max.
That was the goal today. I didn't tell you guys about it, but that was my plan. Anyway, we really like these little roundtables, and there'll be more in the month of June because we have some other travel coming up, and we want to make sure we fill that void with some content. So look forward to that, and that'll be coming up in a couple of weeks. But next week, y'all need to be prepared.
Thank you, Porky Pig.
To watch Underworld. Okay, put on your Underworld underwear. No. Get ready, because boy, Kate Beckinsale,
wash all the your Underworld
tight leather. You got Bill Nye, not the science guy, but the British actor. He plays a cool ass old ass vampire. Oh, it's good. Michael Sheen, he's in it. Oh, you guys don't even know. Has no one seen this movie?
We don't even know.
Has no one seen this?
I've seen Underworld many times.
Okay, good.
I've seen most of them, I believe.
And Dunaway, Ebbett, this first time?
Nope. Seen it as well.
Yep. So everyone's seen this. I'm the only one that's like out of his mind excited about it. I don't know why.
I'm totally still stoked. I'm stoked about it, though. I love it.
Like so many episodes of Film Sack, this is a movie that I think we've seen. But I saw it 20 years ago. I have no idea. I don't remember anything about it.
Oh, man, you're in for a treat. Like
the question of Film Sack is always, did that hold up? And we're going to find out.
You're in for a treat. It's Blade-ish. Oh, it's good. It's real good. The sequels, all garbage. Maybe we'll watch them on Film Sack.
Hey, I wouldn't say they're all garbage.
Rise of the Lycans.
You know how some garbage is plastic and paper and it doesn't stink?
Yeah.
That's the garbage that you like. And then you have the stuff where diapers and food are. That's the other. Yeah. But so it's all garbage. It's just different garbage. You see what I'm saying?
So what you're saying is so anything that was written by Danny McBride is going to be garbage. No.
I love Danny McBride. Are you kidding?
Why are you saying Underworld Evolution is bad then?
What? He wrote that?
That was written by Danny McBride?
No. What are you talking about?
I'm just telling you what Wikipedia says.
Wikipedia is wrong on that front. I usually like
it. I don't think it's the same.
It's a different Danny McBride.
Yeah, it's got to be a different one.
So I was thinking in this one scene. Yeah, that's bad.
But it could be. Maybe it is him.
I doubt it.
Now I'm reading maybe it is.
Highly doubt it.
For American actor, comedian, see Daniel. Okay, so it's not the same.
It's not him.
It's not the same.
This is Daniel Flynn. McBride.
Okay. Yeah. Daniel F. McBride. Yeah. F. McBride.
Apparently wrote the video game also, the Underworld video game.
Oh, okay. Well, good on him. To me, it's Matrix level of difference between the first movie and the sequels. That's how it feels to me. Matrix is a classic. I feel like Underworld is awesome. And then the rest are just.
I liked Evolution pretty good. Yeah. Remember correctly.
It's because you like Kate Beckinsale's tight leather pants. Come on.
And you don't?
Well, who doesn't? Ted
by the way, speaking of action movies and Danny McBride, please stop sleeping on Pineapple Express. That is one of the best movies ever.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention the alien one. Prometheus.
Oh, I love Prometheus.
I love Prometheus.
I'm a fan.
Yeah,
I know some people poo-poo Prometheus, not me.
Mm-hmm. No, I like it too, but Danny McBride.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, certain lady in there plays Furiosa. She's in there as well. See, I did it again. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with that episode. And we love doing these. So for me, for Brian, and for Randy, we'll see you next time.